Welcome. In this live stream, I'm going to share with you practical advice that I implement to have a successful Lent. I'm also going to share with you a worksheet that I made for myself and for my teens to pick practical resolutions that are achievable. Now, what does it mean to have a successful Lent? The goal of the Christian life is union with Jesus Christ. So a successful Lent is a Lent that leads me to be more like Christ and, God willing, bears fruit long after Lent has completed. I want to take a moment just to highlight religious life. Dominicans, Franciscans, Carmelites. Religious have a rule of life that is intended to make them saints. They take vows of poverty, chastity, obedience, because Christ was poor, Christ was chaste, Christ was obedient. These evangelical counsels go directly against the sources of temptation, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You and I are not religious, but it's helpful for us to make a rule of life and be very intentional how we can fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. During Lent, the church in her wisdom recommends to us prayer, fasting, almsgiving. These go directly against the three sources of temptation. The world, by almsgiving, by giving to other people, yes, that makes me like Christ, that makes me more charitable, but it also causes me to detach from goods and possessions. So in our categories that we're going to discuss in a moment, I have a section for almsgiving and detachment from the world, because many of us are so addicted to social media. We're so addicted to the way the world does things. We need to be very intentional. How can I block out the world? We have temptations of the flesh. Every single person has concupiscence, a disordered desire for sex and for food. So our carnal appetites are always tempting us. And by fasting, and we're going to extend this category to go beyond fasting. One, because not everybody knows how to fast well. Not everybody can fast. Some of you might fast and still want more mortification. So we're going to call this category discipline, mortification, and fasting. We'll go through some practical, achievable steps that will help us to be holy and healthy. Just a quick aside. Some people find it difficult to strive to be healthy because they think that it will make them vain. But I want to encourage you, God wants you to be healthy. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift from Almighty God, and it is okay to baptize that desire for good health, even if it means like, well, I kind of want to do this because I want to look better. It is God's will that when you're healthy, that you actually also look healthy. So we're going to look at what can I do that's practical that will help me to be healthy and at the same time control my appetite so that I can be disciplined and better serve Christ in times of temptation. And then there's attacks from the devil. Everybody receives these temptations from the devil. The number one way to preserve yourself in peace and in tranquility is prayer. Prayer not just connects us to God, but it makes us more humble. It makes us more obedient to His will. And it is in prayer that we receive the grace to do God's will in these various resolutions that we're going to make. Now, before we go through this worksheet, and you can get this worksheet at truefaith.tv/downloads. No strings attached. You don't have to sign up for anything. I don't want your email address. Before you work on this worksheet, it's very important you keep three things in mind. Number one, consultation with Christ. It is very easy to rashly select a mortification or a Lenten penance. It's important that we consult with Jesus. What does that mean? Prayerfully review this list. And these are just some suggestions. This is by no means the end all be all. And I made these resolutions that could be good also for teenagers. So you might be called to more than this or something that's not on this list. But the important thing is that you pray about it. You consult with Christ. You're not going to hear a voice in your head saying, the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 p.m. This is my will for you. No, but as we review the list, you're going to have an interior conviction. We will use this interior conviction, the tugging on our conscience, to make good choices. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to try and select something that's actually achievable for our state in life. Everybody's at a different place. It can be very discouraging if you constantly fail at your resolutions. Pick something that you can do. So for example, you might not pray before every meal. You can make it your prayer resolution to pray before breakfast, before lunch, and before dinner. And that habit will bear fruit for all eternity long after Lent is over. So number one, consultation with Christ. Number two, make sure that it's actually achievable for you. And then the third thing is we're going to use this worksheet so you can either circle it, write it down. At the top, you'll write your name. I, Gabriel, resolve to keep the following Lenten resolutions. It is proven that if you write down your resolutions, you're far more likely to keep them. And then secondly, review your resolutions. If they're written, it's easy for you to look at them in the morning or look at them every Sunday and review them from time to time. So let us begin with a quick prayer before we look at this worksheet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, it is you that calls us to a life of holiness. We ask that you make it clear to us the resolutions that you would like us to keep this Lent. We also ask for the grace to persevere in these resolutions, and if we fail, to rise again. So let us look at the worksheet. I'm going to go through this very briefly. In the prayer section, it's important that you pick what, how much are you going to do, and when you're going to do it. Not because we're being scrupulous, but because when you make concrete, specific goals that you can review, it's easier to be successful. So just briefly, you could pray a daily rosary, a Divine Mercy chaplet. You could say, I'm going to pray a decade of the rosary at a specific time. Begin to read the New Testament or read and memorize a psalm. You can make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. Some people like to carry a picture or a statue with them as a way to remain recollected in the presence of God. Many new Catholics get overwhelmed because they don't know prayers. You could memorize a new prayer once a week, and every day you repeat that prayer to help you internalize it. I mentioned before, you can pray before every meal if you don't. You can be very intentional about morning prayer. If you're a business person, maybe one of your mortifications later can be to skip lunch or a meal and go to Mass. Going to Mass in addition to Sunday Mass during the week would be a great habit that will bear fruit not just for eternity, but long after Lent is over. An easy resolution that takes very little time is to honor the 3 o'clock hour. Set an alarm on your phone for 3 p.m. and at 3 p.m., even for just a moment, immerse yourself into the Passion of Christ. Short little fervent prayers throughout the day, such as, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in you, or Jesus, I trust in you. You can do the 7 sorrows devotion, whether that being praying 7 Hail Marys or the 7 sorrows rosary or the 3 Hail Marys devotion. Now, again, this list is not exhaustive. It might be that you're called to something else that's not on this list. The second category is mortification, discipline, and fasting. When I was in high school, I wasn't living my Catholic faith whatsoever, but it was very popular for people to pick something to do for Lent. One of the resolutions that made a huge impact on my life, I made the resolution to not drink soda. And so I began to only drink water, and that really blessed my health. Yes, it mortified my senses because I had to have some self-discipline to not drink what I've become addicted to, but then also the mental clarity. And I had a lot of acne as a teenager, and my face began to clear up. That was a great resolution. So if you drink a lot of sugary beverages or sodas, to drink water alone during Lent would be an incredible resolution. I like this next one, eating only real food. So fasting can be very difficult because our addictions to sugar and processed foods, those processed foods make us want more of that same processed food. So I know many people who for Lent, they're going to try and only eat real food, meaning food that they know came from the ground or came from the sky or came from the ocean, animals that were killed or fruits and vegetables that were harvested. Some people don't eat any vegetables. By making yourself eat food that you don't like, for many people that might be vegetables or leafy greens, forcing yourself to eat those things, yes, it makes you healthy, but if you have a distaste for it, that self-discipline is also good for fighting against temptation. Many people don't get enough sleep. Make a resolution to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Be very specific. This is going to be my bedtime. This is the time that I'm going to wake up. Another resolution that was one of the favorites of Saint Jose Maria Escrivá was called the heroic minute. He said, when your alarm goes off, say a quick prayer and immediately lift your shoulders off of the bed and put your feet on the ground. Now, here is a resolution that crushes the will, but at the same time does no harm to the body. And winning that first victory of the day, not giving in to a second of idleness, is a great way to start the day. Many people are not healthy and they would benefit from going for a walk. So maybe your Lenten resolution could be exercise for 15 minutes, go for a walk every single day, or go for a jog. Regulating the body is extraordinarily beneficial for being virtuous. Some people will take cold showers or showers that don't have any hot water. You can stop eating when you're not hungry. It's beneficial to not snack between meals. I know this is a big one. When I was first coming to Christ, I had a horrible habit of using bad language. If you are somebody who curses and it just is a subconscious thing, it's your culture, don't make excuses for yourself. Bad language is not pleasing to Jesus and Mary. If you spend time with the Blessed Mother, if you spend time with Jesus Christ and with Saint Joseph, they don't curse. And so by spending time with them, you become more like the ones you love. So really make an act of the will to say, I'm going to be very intentional in my speech. No more curse words are coming out of my mouth. Only praises and blessings will come out of my mouth. Now, this category, the next category, detachment from the world and almsgiving. I'll start with the most obvious, almsgiving. It is very important that we give money to the church, we give money to the poor, because this is something that Christ has asked us to do, to give of ourselves for the sake of those who have less and also for the sake of the kingdom. So for you, it could be, I don't tithe at all. I'm going to start to tithe during Lent 10%. Wonderful. But many people already give to the poor. And if that's you, awesome. So we really need to be careful about being attached to the world. I will be the first to say that I have a cell phone addiction. And so one of the resolutions, I don't have my phone with me because it's over there. One of the resolutions that I personally made for myself is I have my phone in grayscale, and I also have the colors inverted. When you look at a phone like this, you look at the images, I don't like the way this looks. It's actually repulsive. So I have this disordered desire to look at my phone. And then when I actually look at it, I'm repulsed by it. But it doesn't get in the way of me using my phone as a tool, as an instrument, which it was originally designed to be. I can check email, I can read, I can look up and do research. So maybe that's for you, inverted colors, grayscale. For me, under no circumstance am I turning off my inverted colors. A way to be detached from the world, listen to less worldly things. So I have on my list, add Catholic podcasts. I'm a huge fan of The Exorcist Files. Completely inspirational, even though these are dramatic storytellings of what some people might consider frightening. I'm always inspired and I'm always closer to Christ when I'm done listening to The Exorcist Files. Incredible Catholic podcasts out there. Here's another one that I want to elaborate on as well. Listening to Catholic music. Begin to put good music into your music rotation. This is very difficult for teens. As a youth minister, I work with high school teens and I've heard it, I don't know, like 1,000 times. I literally heard it this past Sunday. A teenager said, I don't care about the lyrics. I only care about the beat. I just love the way the beat hits. And you know, the response is always, it's like eating poison wrapped in a candy. So just because you like the way it tastes, just because you like the way it sounds, you're taking in a poisonous message into your heart and it does make an impact. This is a shameless plug. I'm not trying to hide it. I am creating Catholic music. I'm going to get into it in another video, but I have a couple of songs that are available for sampling at truefaith.tv/music. These are songs that I have worked countless hours on getting the lyrics just right, because especially Catholic men, when they listen to Catholic music, they complain to me and they say, man, it's just like Jesus is my boyfriend type of music. So I made music that is theologically rich, has Latin verses mixed in. So far, unanimous consent. These are fire. They love them. As the kids say, these are bangers. These are amazing songs. So go check that out. Another great habit that I like, if you don't do this yet, to help you to be more detached or to help you to be more focused on godly things, is to put a holy background on your technology. Have a picture of the Blessed Mother on your phone, on your backdrop of your iPad or your computer. Have the crucifixion scene. I absolutely love it. I know that many of you for Lent are going to give up all social media. You're going to cut out YouTube completely. If you're not doing that, add more Catholic YouTube. There's so many great content creators out there. I do encourage you to come and check out Gabi After Hours. Check in every once in a while throughout Lent to see what we got, because we've got documentaries on Saint Bartolo Longo coming out. We got an incredible, miraculous, medically verified testimonial of brain cancer being cured from this amazing priest at Lourdes. So many incredible things. Like, this is not hype. This is legit. Cut out worldly music. Cut out or limit social media. Donate clothes. Call a family member. So almsgiving, yes, we give to the poor. But Mother Teresa complained that there is a deeper poverty in the United States. It's not that we don't have enough money to buy food, but there's a poverty of soul. There's a poverty of love. And many times, even within our own families, there are family members who might be distasteful for us. We don't like to be around them, but they really need our love and attention. So make it a point during Lent to call a family member, write people letters, send people cards. Another good resolution is to put all screens away while eating. No screens is another good one. Only audio, only listening to audiobooks. These are just a few ideas that I came up with for myself. The things that I'm going to do are actually on this list and that I made for my teenagers. I tried to make this list something that all teenagers and up could embrace into their life. Now, it's important that we pray. So all these resolutions that we make, we want to make sure, one, that they are according to God's will, and two, that we do them with the grace of God. Often people make New Year's resolutions and they fail miserably very often. And God allows that. Why does God allow us to fail in our resolutions? Because He wants to protect us from the greatest of all the vices, which is pride. This false sense of security, this false sense of, I can do it, I have enough, I don't need to pray, I don't have time to pray, I've got so much going on. So that's pride, the idea that I don't need to pray, that I can do this without God. And so let us say a prayer of humility, asking God for the grace to be successful this Lent. Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, we come before You in humility. One, we ask, put on our hearts what it is that You want us to do or to give up this Lent that will make us more like You, that will bring us in closer contact with You. Lord, we are weak. Give us the strength to say yes to Your will. Give us the strength to be faithful to these resolutions. And when we fall, give us the grace and the courage to get back up, to admit our failures, to reassess, and keep moving forward. Blessed Virgin Mary, we consecrate our Lenten resolutions to Your sorrowful and immaculate heart. You know our weaknesses. You know our temptations. Watch over us, protect us, intercede for us with Your spouse, the Holy Spirit, that we might be more like Christ. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, God love you, and we will see you very soon.